Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shilpa Medicare earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Runjhun Jain from EY IR. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Raj. A warm welcome to all the participants to the Q1 FY25 earnings call of Shilpa Medicare Limited. The financial results and the presentation have been uploaded on the company's website and on the exchanges. Please note that this conference is being recorded, and the transcript along with audio of the same will be made available on the website of the company as well as the exchanges. I would like to remind you that today's discussion might include forward-looking statements based on the current expectations and assumptions. These statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. Investors are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which speak only as of the date hereof. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Now, to take you through to the results and to answer your questions today, we have the management team from the company represented by Mr. Keshav Bhutada, Executive Director of Shilpa Pharma Life Sciences Limited, and Mr. Advesh Dalal, Chief Financial Officer. Now, I request Mr. Keshav to provide you with a brief update of the quarter. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Runjhun. Very good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss our Q1 FY25 results. I am Keshav Bhutada, and I will share you various business segments' brief overview before handing over to Mr. Advesh Dalal, our CFO, who will provide the financial highlights. Post that, we can open the floor for any questions that you may have. Overall, I will majorly give you major growth drivers in each segment, and my briefing will be divided into four main verticals of Shilpa Group: API, formulations, transdermal patch and ODF, and biologics. So let me start with the briefing of API business vertical, in which, in the oncology segment, the major updates are there were two NDA molecules which we were developing for our client for many years, in which NDA molecule number one, which we were developing for our U.S. client, the client has received a breakthrough designation for the same product, and for the same product, NDA is planned to file by our client in Q4 FY25. We have already secured a pre-launch order in this quarter for which the supplies will be done over current quarter and the subsequent quarters. For the second molecule, NDA molecule two, currently the client project is under phase three supplies, for which already for the phase three clinical study, we have successfully received order. For the same, the delivery is already finished in the same quarter. And for this product, currently, the client is doing phase three clinical studies. Apart from that, two new oncology molecules, which is abiraterone and methotrexate, for which US DMF and European CEP is planned to file in Q3 FY25. And two new molecules planned scale-up and validations in the oncology segments are already initiated and expected to complete in Q3 FY25. And for all four products, we are also developing our own formulation so that we are not dependent on only external sales. Also, we will have our internal captive formulation consumption. The major focus in the oncology is, with the existing portfolio, build a differentiated long-term complex pipeline which can give us sustainable growth in years to come. Now, I move forward to non-oncology business, in which the most important update for the company in this quarter was ursodeoxycholic acid, which is a very complex and niche API which we have in our grid, for which the European CEP was received in this quarter. With the approval of CEP, it opens a big opportunity for Shilpa Medicare in export markets. And in the quarters to come, we are confident that this molecule is expected to grow in export market in a large volume. Apart from that, Nor-UDCA, which is again a NDA molecule, for which Hilpa is already developing the formulation. For the same molecule, already the DMF is completed and the initial launch quantity orders manufacturing has already started. In the non-oncology segments, we have always kept our focus on import substitute molecules and complex molecules. So we have successfully completed for two new non-oncology molecules lab validation. For the same product, the plant scale-up is currently initiated and we are planning to finish the plant validation and subsequently DMF filing for two new molecules, which are complex and import substitutes, which can give us a sustainable revenue in years to come. Now I move forward to new verticals in which CDMO peptide and polymers, which is again very important focus for company. In the CDMO space, the major updates are for the US client, for which already the preclinical supplies were successfully done. Now the program has advanced to phase 1/phase 2 clinical studies, for which we have successfully received order and for which the supplies are expected to complete in Q2/Q3 FY25. For the second client, which is from Taiwan, the program has moved to the phase 3 study and currently client has given us order for finishing the plant scale-up and validation batches and making drug master file ready, which again gives us assurance that we will be one of a major suppliers for the same client. For this product also, we are expecting to complete the plant validation in this financial year. Apart from that, 2 to 3 new CDMO projects were signed in this quarter for which initial lab scale development is already commenced. Now moving forward to polymers, in which our major focus has always been on developing specialty complex polymers. In Q1, we are happy to share you that we could crack one more US MNC client for which the initial sample order was successfully completed in Q1 and for which the order is already received for the pilot quantity, for which the supplies are expected to complete in Q2/Q3. Apart from that, there are many other specialty polymer projects which are currently in the development phase. Now moving forward to peptides, in which our major focus has been a mix of GLP-1 portfolio and some complex products. I'm happy to share our first GLP-1 product, which is liraglutide, for which the plant validation was successfully completed, which is a very complex API. And the DMF for the same is expected to file in Q3. And the second update in peptides is for one of the European client, which is a NCE molecule for a new indication. We have successfully finished initial development phase of the contract and the initial supplies were finished in Q1. Now going forward, we are expecting the supply for phase 1, for which companies geared up. Apart from that, semaglutide, which is again a second molecule in the peptide space, the lab scale development is finished and now our target is to finish the plant validation and make drug master file ready in this financial year. And the last important update is on the regulatory. In the Q1, we could finish the Anvisa Brazil GMP audit for almost 29 products in Unit 2 and the audit was successfully completed. I'm sure in years to come, this will give us a good opportunity in Brazil market also to sell our APIs. Now I move forward to the formulation business, in which the major updates are our first NDA molecule for which we had received approval, Primitexed, for which the J-code was already granted. J-code is for premium pricing. Now our partner has already applied for the same product for K-code, which will help them in insurance reimbursement, for which they are expecting to get approval in this quarter. So going forward for Primitexed in US, we are confident that in quarters to come, we are likely to gain good market share. Apart from that, the second most important NDA molecule for which already company had filed in last financial year, we are likely to get approval for the same product in Q2/Q3 of FY25. Now the third update is on the there is a one more NDA molecule, which is the oncology oral liquid, for which our partner had already filed this product in U.S., which is in the oncology space, especially in the oral liquid. It is a first of its kind U.S. NDA which is filed and for which the approval is expected in Q4. With this, we are confident that for the U.S. market, the pipeline is very well built up in, and the same will give us growth in years to come. Apart from that, in Europe market, now I move forward to our upcoming big launch, which is for nilotinib, where company, I am happy to share that our regulatory review for the same product is already completed, and the launch for the same product is expected in Q3. And for this product, already company has partnered with the number one company in the generic space in oncology selling in Europe. So we are confident that this product also will give us good sales in the Europe market. The second update in Europe market is on the transdermal patch portfolio, where our first product will be filed in September of this financial year, for which the complex clinical studies are already completed and is successfully passing. And the product is expected to be filed in Europe in Q2, FY25. Two new transdermal patch products deals were signed in this quarter, again with our various partners, for which the development is already started, which will give us a confidence that on the transdermal patch portfolio, we have a sequential pipeline and a partner ready to sell our product. Apart from that, when I speak specific on the pipeline, we have two NDA molecules, which is SMLNUD07, which we have currently company has developed for NAFLD indication for India and emerging markets. Currently, the phase 3 studies are expected to complete in Q2 FY25, and we are expecting to file this product in Q3 FY25 in India, and we'll start partnering in various emerging markets. The second product, SMLTOP09, which is for androgenic alopecia. For the same product, already the phase 2 studies were completed, and for the phase 3 studies already we have applied in DCGI, and we are expecting to start the phase 3 study in Q3 FY25. Overall, our focus in formulation has always been to build a differentiated and complex portfolio, which will give a sustainable growth for us. And company is very focused on cost spending, and we are only investing on programs where we have a partner and where we are confident of selling those products. Now, on the regulatory update, which is on the USFDA audit of our formulation facility. So we have already finished meeting with USFDA, and they have suggested us to appoint some subject experts, for which already the appointment is completed and the review has started. And we are expecting to complete the review in Q3 FY25, after subsequently post which we will be again applying to USFDA for further course of action. Now I move forward to biologics business, which has always been our interest and where we have seen a good traction in very last two quarters, and the same you will observe in the current quarter also. So in the biologics, our first product adalimumab was approved in Morocco market, which was our first biologics approved in the export market. And the same product is already filed in many of the emerging markets. Currently already we have filed, and we have started discussing on partnering also for the same products with other clients. Now the second product, the major update is on the aflibercept, where currently our client scale-up batches are ongoing, and we are expecting to start the phase 3 human studies for the same product in Q3 FY25. The second major update on aflibercept is we have already finished the European scientific advice for the same product, where we ask to the EMA agency our study, our development data, we submit them, our RLD data we submit, and we ask them permission to start the phase 3 study. So the initial advice has been positive, and now going forward we will be submitting the permission for phase 3 studies. And then for Europe also, we are starting to discuss with various partners on the Europe market. Now on the CDMO space in the biologics, the Korean client for which already the complex project was well executed at our end. The various orders for the preclinical and phase one supplies have already started. And for the same, there was a GMP audit also for with the same client, which was very important for us to pass successfully. So company could successfully finish the audit, and now we are confirmed as a primary supplier currently for the client for the phase one and phase two supplies. And apart from that, we have two new CDMO projects which are likely to be signed in second quarter FY25. And we are seeing very good traction in the biologics business, where there is a lot of opportunity in the development space, in the manufacturing space. And we are confident that in a quarters to come, biologics will be a very strong portfolio for Shilpa Group. Now, the last and most important update is on albumin, where I am happy to share that phase one human study for the same product is already completed. And now we are rushing towards starting for getting the permission for phase three study. And we are expecting to start the phase three human study in Q4 FY25. And the study duration is for 1 year. And the phase one study, what we have completed was against the European reference product. So the same phase one data will also be submitted to European regulatory authorities for asking them the phase three permission. Apart from that, the USDMF filing for albumin for the excipient grade was successfully filed, which gives us more confidence on the quality of our product with not only manufacturing, but also with the dossier quality. Apart from that, the new facility for large-scale microbial fermentation, the project is going well on track, and we are expecting to complete the project in Q3 FY25. At last, the major, last but not the least, we are delighted to announce a key CDMO signed during the quarter with Unicisive Therapeutics for oxylanthanum carbonate. We will be supplying to them finished formulation along with our own API. We will be receiving $10 million milestones for this deal, as informed earlier. We will build a dedicated facility for them, which will be funded by the customer. And initial launch quantity orders are already received from the client, for which the manufacturing with the current facility, we will be starting in the quarters to come. Considering all the developments and expected growth in biologics, we have been building our teams further. In conclusion, we are confident in our ability to continue delivering strong performance driven by our robust R&D pipeline, operational excellence, and strategic focus on licensing and CDMO. And company's major focus has been on monetizing the existing assets and will continue to do same. We are committed to creating long-term value for our shareholders through consistent execution and innovation. I will now hand over to Mr. Alpesh Dalal, who will provide a detailed financial overview.
Thank you very much, Keshav. Good morning, everyone. Let me briefly take you through the financial performance for the first quarter of the current financial year. Our top line stood at 302 crore, registering a growth of 15% year-on-year. And this was driven mainly by our formulation business, which witnessed a healthy growth of growth in the emerging markets, as well as in the licensing segment that we are operating in. The gross profit for Q1 was at 200 crore with a margin of 68% as compared to 66% in the comparable quarter last year. The EBITDA for the quarter was at 83 crores compared to 50 crores in Q1. Again, a strong growth of 66% year on year. And EBITDA margins were also up at 28% from 19% during the same quarter last year. I'm also pleased to inform that, this is the seventh consecutive quarter wherein we are able to improve our EBITDA and EBITDA margins. And as we continue to optimize our costs and enhance our operational efficiency and rationalize our R&D investment, we expect to continue this momentum, right? Our PAT for the quarter stood at 14%, registering a margin of 5%. Now, just a quick update on the segmental performance. Our API business clocked a revenue of 173 crores, up 4% compared to same quarter last year. Typically, you know, for our API business, Q1 ends up becoming a seasonally soft quarter, which is generally visible during, you know, historically as well. But however, we expect that robust growth should come in going forward in this business as well. And formulation business for the quarter was at 104 crores, registering a growth of 13% year-on-year. And biosimilar revenues were at 16 crores, which obviously is a new business that we have entered into, so has a healthy 81% growth rate over there. Now, let me take you through our balance sheet details. Our net debt for the as on 30th June 2024 stood at 514 crore as compared to 912 crore at the end of March 24. And our capex for the first quarter was 58 crore, which was again mainly driven by our investment in our albumin facility that we are setting up. With this brief introduction, I would like to now open the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahil Dasani from MAPL. Please go ahead, sir.
Is Rahil there, or we can move on to the next question?
Mr. Rahil? Mr. Rahil, your line is unmuted. Mr. Rahil, are you there?
Sir, move on to question, no?
Yes, I'll move on to another. The next question is from the line of Jigar Valaya from OHM. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the fantastic detailed presentation and the elaborate update also. One question, if you can help with regards to phase two for albumin. I mean, there is phase one and then all the updates are for phase three. So,
yeah, to give you a clear picture, see, currently in albumin, we have finished a phase one study in which we have finished the evaluation of safety, immunogenicity as well as efficacy. Okay. Usually phase 2 is needed for compounds where if the safety studies are not established in phase 1, then there is a need of phase 2 study. So currently we have done a phase 1 slash phase 2 study, you can just tell that, where we have also evaluated the safety of the product.
Got it. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harsh from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I'm audible.
No, there is...
Harsh, your voice is not very clear.
Yeah, I'm audible.
Sorry to interrupt. Harsh, just keep the mobile phone or the handset a little bit far away from you.
Yeah, is this better?
Yep.
Sure. Sir, two questions. One on albumin again. The phase one human trials are done and the excipient grade DMF is filed. Once you are done with the phase three trials, let's say at the end of fourth quarter of FY26, should we assume that these are global trials or these will be selective market launch, let's say Europe and emerging markets? How should one think about the human launch in the end of FY26 or early FY27, as well as the excipient grade launch?
Yeah. See, I'll first update you on the clinical study. See, the way what strategy we have planned currently, there will be two studies which will be running in parallel. The one study will be for India and emerging markets, and there will be a separate study which will be running for Europe market. Okay. So the studies will run in parallel. In Europe, the procedure is once your phase one study is complete, you have to submit to EMA and take their advice. After that only you are allowed to start the phase three studies. So, and for Europe, it will be a more elaborated studies. Instead of 12 months, it will be maybe for 15 months. So the strategy what we have built is we will be doing two studies in parallel, one for India and emerging markets, and second one will be for Europe market. Is it clear? And on the second question on the excipient grade, see, for the excipient grade, already the drug master file is filed. So now various people will start using our albumin as excipient in their formulation, and then further they will be triggering it in their formulation, and then we will be having a commercial high value sales for that application. But apart from that, there are many other applications which are non-GMP applications, cell culture grade and multiple grades in albumin. So currently our focus is to build a team which will promote this albumin for excipient grade. So for this, the right picture, I will be able to give you more clarity on quarters to come, how much sales we can do it. And our focus is on getting good clients which can give a sustainable growth in excipient grade also.
So for the phase one that you have completed right now successfully, this data will then be submitted to EMA for their advice, which will help us to go into phase three for European studies.
Correct. So even in phase one study, before starting the study, we already had done a phase EMA scientific advice. And we taken an alignment with EMA for our phase one study protocol. After that only we had started the phase one study. So the study what we have completed is very well applicable for EMA submission also, for asking them for phase three permission.
Okay, so your phase one which you have reported is very much in collaboration, and the metrics which are required by the European authorities, when if everything is successful, then you will straight away move to the phase three part for both India emerging as well as European.
Exactly. You're right.
Okay. And just on this earlier comment of the two NDA molecules, one, the breakthrough designation part where you have secured the pre-launch orders, and the second molecule where the molecules and the phase three studies. Could you help us give a little bit more color, let's say, on the breakthrough designation candidate of what could be the overall commercialization timeline? Since it is a breakthrough designation, I'm assuming that it will be a decent sized market, but it may not be, let's say, $1 billion plus market to that extent. So anything for us to understand, particularly for the breakthrough designation product molecule?
Yeah, sure. See, currently for both the molecules, for the first molecule, which is in breakthrough designation, right? Our partner studies have been successful and they are planning to file NDA by end of this year. Currently, that is what they have given us a plan, and post which they will be having a approval if everything goes well in the next financial year. So I will be able to give you a right picture more on this in the quarters to come, because as and when the program advances, right, that is when the usually there are more chances of having a long-term arrangement, which you would have seen in case of Unicycic Therapeutics, right? So there will be more advancements which will be happening in this both the molecules in the quarters to come. So currently, I will not be able to tell you a clear picture how big it will be, how many billions, but I can tell you having a breakthrough designation with such a niche opportunity, it is surely a good opportunity for Shilpa as a group.
And the timeline for the second molecule will obviously succeed the timelines for the first molecule, which is under breakthrough designation.
Yeah, the second molecule, it will all depend on the phase 3 study outcome for our partner, for which we are surely expecting some results for that in the next financial year. So we will be able to give you more updates on that.
And so one last before I join the queue, on liraglutide, you mentioned some comments, maybe I missed that, but you mentioned that the plant validation is complete. And for semaglutide, you mentioned the large-scale development is finished. If you could give us some little bit more color on the general timeline, what could come next for both these products, and when does the conversation with the clients happen? Like, in which year, which financial year would that supply start, assuming everything else falls into place?
See, with respect to first molecule, liraglutide, as already we have now finished the plant validation. So now we will be promoting this molecule to various customers, and we will have some customers seeded also in this financial year. So for that molecule, I feel that in the quarters to come, there are chances that we'll have initial sales happening. And also, we have developed our own formulation also for this product, which we are planning to. Already the formulation development is completed, and we are planning to scale up our formulation in Q3 FY25. And further, it will be filed in various rest of the world markets. So surely for this liraglutide, we will see in quarters to come a lot of traction in API as well as formulations. And on the second molecule, semaglutide, currently the lab scale development is completed, and once we finish the plant validation with Drug Master File, that is when the commercial picture will start coming in. So maybe for that, you can assume in next financial year, we'll have more picture on the commercial sales.
So let's say if liraglutide is more near to medium term, without getting into semaglutide, the liraglutide opportunity for you in the initial, let's say, next two, three years, will be more of an emerging market and India market opportunity rather than the U.S., Europe market opportunity. Would that be the right way to look at? Because this is a fairly complex product, so there are very few players who have been able to develop their own API. There are many formulation players, but API players are very far and few in between. Would that be the right picture?
No, that is wrong, because the API is developed for global market, and our facility is already US FDA approved, EU approved, Japan approved, Brazil approved, so we have global accreditations, right? So I think many people will use our API also in their formulations launch for US and Europe market also in quarters to come, if we are promoting it properly.
In terms of the competitive environment of liraglutide, sorry, the competitive environment of liraglutide is that the API players are far and few, because the API complexity is very complex to that extent. And again, formulation players will be very high, because they can buy the API from a single supplier or a dual supplier.
Exactly, Yash, you are right.
All right, I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Dasani from MAPL. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Hello. Oh, okay. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity. In the last call, we said we would update on the Pemetrexed injection post one quarter of commercialization. So post-launch, what has been our sales to Amneal, and what offtake have they seen for this product? If you can provide some numbers.
Yeah. Post-launch, currently, Amneal has already sold more than 1,000 vials currently in U.S. market. And, they are waiting for K-code also, which is again very important for insurance reimbursement, okay? Which is expected to come in this quarter. So post which, I feel there will be more sales happening in the quarters to come.
Got it. And for Albumin, another player by the name of Albumedix, which was acquired by Sartorius, is also into recombinant albumin, and has been selling the product commercially for a long time, and that too in all the grades. While we use Pichia pastoris, they use the Saccharomyces. So what is the difference in terms of yield and efficiency?
See, I cannot comment on their yield and their process, because that is confidential and not known to me. But what I can tell you is our process is highly competitive, and Albumedix is selling, or Sartorius is currently selling this product only as excipient grade, okay? And they have been getting themselves qualified for many years, so that is why currently they have had good market share in the excipient grade itself. So what we are doing is we will be offering a combo, which will be excipient grade as well as therapeutic use. So for us, the market will be much wider than Albumedix.
Okay. And are we planning to undersell them or go for a premium?
I think that is too early for me to comment currently. Because as you know, Shilpa is more a B2B partner, right? So once we are entering into some arrangements in upcoming quarters or years to come, I think we'll be able to give you a much clearer picture.
Got it. And for the XCPN grid, now that we have got the DMF, what sort of interest have we seen for our product? How many potential customers are conducting stability tests with our grid? Something around that?
Yeah, I think currently it is at a very early stage. So I would prefer to answer this question maybe in upcoming quarters, if it is okay.
Okay. And yeah, for the licensing part of the business, this quarter's licensing revenue growth, was it led by increased partnering contracts and thus the initial fees, or more of the older contracts doing better milestones?
Yeah, it's a mix of both. See, as you know, I've been informed in the previous quarterly calls also, we are a pure B2B company and our focus has always been on developing complex portfolio. So for we are, if you see every quarter, we have signed existing deals, we have upcoming milestones also, and we have also had a new contract signed. So from last four quarters, we have successfully signed in every quarter deals with new clients, which shows that our existing contracts are also giving us the revenue and as well as new contracts. So currently in this quarter, it's a mix of both. It's a ratio of maybe around 50-50.
That's interesting, got it. And just to quickly understand a few products in the pipeline, Dr. Klotz seems to be a very innovative product, and according to our last quarter's presentation, we launched it in India. So what is the update for this product?
See, currently in Dr. Klotz, we are, because it is a product which is currently under prescription, we are trying to get an approval under OTC, then the market will expand drastically, which is a thing which is a very time consuming process, which already we are trying. So currently, I feel our focus is on getting that OTC. After that only we can have a good commercial market share. So currently, I feel with the mix of so much of portfolio and all, Dr. Klotz, until we get a OTC permission, we will not have a big commercial business.
Okay, and any timelines around that when we accept the approval?
No, I think so. It is purely government driven and they have committee approval procedures, which we are also doing for the first time. So I think I will be able, I'll surely give you a right picture whenever we have some update on that.
Okay, and according to this quarter's investor presentation, I saw a new product by the name of SML-ODF-010. We haven't talked of this before, so what is this exactly and what is the early launch advantage?
Yeah, that is a product which we have developed in our ODF division, where it is one very unique opportunity, majorly in US market, where against the current formulation, which is of tablets and capsule, we have developed a ODF product, okay? And it is confidential, so what I can tell you currently is, it is a good opportunity where our human clinical studies we have successfully completed, okay? And we are planning to file this product in US sometime in Q3/Q4 FY25.
Got it. So I guess we cannot provide the commercial expectations. Okay.
Yeah, the next question early, is, but I'll shortly give you a picture. Yeah.
Got it. And for polymers, the supplies to two big customers were to start this year. Do we still stand on that?
Yeah, in polymer majorly, as you know, we have in the previous quarters, we have already briefed, we are working with one US customer where we have supplied them initial pilot quantities, and now we are expecting the big launch orders in the upcoming quarters. Okay, so that is the update with first US client. And in the Q1 FY25, we could successfully secure one good order from a US MNC client, which was an initial pilot order, but this is a complex polymer, and if we are successfully delivering them, then this will be again a good long-term opportunity for us. So we will be able to give you more picture on the upcoming quarters once the successful delivery is done.
Got it. And according to the previous phone calls, you were...
Sorry to interrupt, Rahil.
Yeah. It's just a continuation to that question. So we were previously guiding for 15 to 100 crores of target. So how much of that do we see from these two customers that we have talked about?
No, see, what we have mentioned is in a mix of CDMO peptide polymer together, it will give us a decent top line and bottom line. That is what we have given indication. So I will not be able to disclose on client specific what will be the order value and how much it will be. But I can tell you as a mix of these three combo segments, there is a good potential for us, not only from top line, but also a very good bottom line.
Got it. I guess, but you are confusing it because in the previous con calls, we have said to get a 100 crores of target in the next 2 to 3 years from polymer segment alone.
Yeah. From in 2 to 3 years, yes, that is what we have kept it as a target, and we are on it for sure.
So that's what I'm just trying to understand is, are these two customers enough for that, or will we need more customers to achieve that target?
Rahul, I think, as Keshav had mentioned earlier, these are early days to comment on some of these aspects. So, you will have to, we are talking about a 2 to 3 years timeline. We'll need to wait and, watch how it develops. Yeah?
Sure. That's helpful. I'll get back in a few. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, please limit your questions to two questions only, as there should be a fair chance for everybody to ask a question. Just limit your questions to two questions. The next question is from the line of Tushar from MK Ventures. Please go ahead, sir.
Yep. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first, quick understanding on albumin. In the albumin clinical trial, there is no efficacy data point, right, for us? So phase III is essentially just an extension of phase I trial with more participants, right? Or are there any specific efficacy data points also that we are going to observe?
No, phase I is more like a pilot study where we have also evaluated efficacy. So phase III will be more extrapolation on more number of subjects, and phase III is more done on a patient-based study with specific indications. So that is the difference.
Okay. And in terms of the excipient grade, now that we filed the DMF, what is the process in terms of when we approach clients? Can they already include the product in their in their dossiers, or do we need to wait for the excipient grade approval before they can start to include it in their plans? How does this work?
See, initially what clients do is because we have Drug Master File ready, right? So it's more like API selling where they will start taking the initial quantities and develop their formulation, and then they also register our product with their product with our API, like albumin API.
And for the therapeutic grade, can you highlight if we are already in any kind of conversations with any of the global players? Because now that we have a visibility over the near term, are there any kind of conversations we are already engaging in or expect to engage shortly for business development?
I think it's too early for me to comment, Tushar, so I will maybe update in the future quarters.
Sure. Second, this quarter, the other income is on the higher side. In the past, management has highlighted that some of this other income is essentially operating income for us, but we do it through other income. Maybe if you can just clarify again, how much of this 9 crore or 10 crore other income is actually operating income or business-related income, and how much of it is maybe interest income or otherwise?
So, Tushar, half of this income is interest-related income, which is purely based on some FD that we had created out of the QIP proceeds. And the other half is more in the nature of other kind of incomes, including some write-backs that we may have in the business and all. Because ideally, when the expense hits you, it is part of operating expenses, but if there is some write-back that happens, that goes and sits in other income.
Okay. Sure. And the licensing income that we have booked for this quarter, does it include a component from Unisys already?
Yeah, there is a very initial milestone of Unisys currently.
And are we?
Sorry, Mr. Tushar?
Yeah, I'm just doing a clarification on this, and I'll then come back.
Please.
Hello?
Yeah, please give others a fair chance to ask a question. If you wish to ask.
Go ahead, Tushar, finish your question.
Thanks. So, this licensing income that we have booked, right? So, we did about 150 crores licensing income last year. And is it fair to expect that, you know, as some of our programs start to come towards commercialization or late stage, that we should be able to maintain or better the overall licensing component, independent of whatever else we do on formulations? Do we think that licensing income is sustainable and can further be, you know, strengthen this part of the business?
Yes. Yes, Tushar. It is very sustainable and you will observe that in quarters to come.
Great. Thank you so much and join back.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please make sure that you limit your questions to 2 questions only, as there should be a fair chance for other participants to answer, to get back in the call queue, question and answer queue. The next question is from the line of Dheeresh from White Oak. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Alpesh, this in the presentation, in the revenue breakup, we have given API and formulation. So API is about 173. Formulation is, you know, another 104. And then there is excluding other income, the total revenues are 293. So what we add up, there is still a gap of about 17 crores. So what explains, you know, between 293 and what we add up, 104 and 172, 276. So that extra balancing 17 is what revenue?
So, Dheeresh, if you see, there is also biologicals piece that we have mentioned here, which is about 15.5 crores. If you refer to slide number 4.
Achha, maybe I missed it. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Slide number. So that is, okay, that, so you basically three.
That will explain your entire pile.
Okay. So when we are now, when we start having, let's say, albumin revenues and biologics revenue, we are going to report like that. Okay, understood. And this Unicycif, when we are going to supply both API and formulation, right? In API, there is a CDMO segment. So we will show that in CDMO API in the revenue classification that you have. And when we supply formulation, we will show it in the geography breakup. How are you going to bifurcate? Or you just put everything in CDMO, which is in API?
No. So first and foremost, Dheeresh, here the API will be supplied by, you know, our API unit to our formulation unit. And formulation unit will be supplying the final product to Unicycif, right? Now, obviously, currently we have the licensing fee coming into it, but as we go along, you know, the way it shapes up, the sales from API to formulation, as in standalone API business, would feature as a CDMO revenue, and likewise, it will come up, you know, in the geography in our formulation business.
That will show up in the US revenue in the formulation, right?
Right.
Okay, understood. And one last question, how much is the CAPEX requirement this year, next year?
And how much we have been mentioning that for the year, we have about, you know, 125 crore kind of CAPEX requirements in total, about 50 crores for our albumin project, about 50 odd crores for our, you know, maintenance capex and all, and around 25 odd crores for our transgenic acid expansion. That's the full year number.
Okay, and how much R&D capitalized?
So, in the Q1, we have done about, cash from a cash flow perspective, we have done 58 crores, because that also includes certain advances that we would have paid and all.
58 total, how much expense and how much through the balance sheet?
No, there is no expense in this. No, these are all balance sheet. Right? Only thing is some of them are part of CAPEX, this thing, and some of them are sitting there as advances for CAPEX.
Okay. Theek. All right. Thank you, Alpesh.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for taking the question. So my question related to the UDCA. So just wanted to understand how big this UDCA opportunity could be. And what I understand, the raw material has been very scarce. So I wanted to understand the whole, business of the UDCA, because there in fact, the sourcing of raw material, and plus earlier we used to have a joint venture where this was a key product. So after this launching this, is there any conflict with the erstwhile joint venture for this product?
No, I think, see, UDC as an opportunity, we are very bullish on the opportunity only because the market and the applications for this product is very big, okay? And there is a worldwide very big consumption, and the major players in this product has been over years, mainly Europe and China. So in the export market, we are hoping very positive, having a CEP grade API with complete drug master file support. We will be growing in this product very well. And answering your second question on the joint venture, what we had is already concluded in, I think in year 20, maybe 2-3 years back. So there is no implications of that.
No, so I wanted to know that I think the erstwhile joint venture is still into this business. So is there any market competing? We are competing with
them? Not in the joint venture. So that is not there currently. It's already completely ended the European supply with our JV client.
Yeah, and I think your question around, you know, see, we have developed our own independent process, you know, independent of the process which was there in the joint venture. So there is no conflict with them on that front at all.
Okay, fine, that clarifies. And secondly, in CDMO business, I think that two molecule what we are talking about currently, where the pre-launched orders we have received. So just how big this could be? I think it would be difficult right now, but still, if you could give some number to understand that whether that is going to be very significant for overall financial perspective.
No, I think, see, what I can brief you is what we are mainly focusing in our API business is to build more complex and long gestation business, so that once we are securing and once we are entering with the clients in their phase 3 supplies, then it's a long-term business for us, okay? So in the years to come, maybe with the announcement of Unicycive Therapeutics, which already you would have read, which is first CDMO supplies where we have made a long-term agreement with the client. So I can tell you we are planning to do similar such arrangements in the quarters to come, so that which will give us more assurance on the long-term business.
Okay, thank you. And last one, on taxation front, what exactly, what tax rate we are expecting for whole year for FY25?
Yeah, see, basically, you know, typically our tax rates are, you know, in the region of about 35-odd%. For the quarter, it has been on a bit higher side, mainly on account of intercompany interest, which has been there, where the income is getting accrued in a higher tax company as compared to, you know, the expenditure getting booked in a lower tax company. Some of that we are correcting right now, where certain loans have been already converted into equity, which you would have read in one of our notes as well. And in certain cases, what also happens is that because some loans are given for pre-capitalization stage, the interest over there does not get hit to P&L. So there, you know, the income is getting charged to P&L, but there is no expense-related benefit coming into for that interest spend. So these have resulted into higher, you know, tax rate for the current quarter. But generally, we should be able to maintain it in the region of about 35%.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's it for myself.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Mehta from Art Ventures. Please go ahead, sir.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask, can you throw some light on the EBITDA margins this time? They have expanded by...
Sorry, can you be more louder now? We are not able to hear you, sorry.
Okay, can you throw some light on the EBITDA margins? They have expanded considerably this time. And can you guide on what kind of EBITDA margins do you aim to maintain in this financial year?
Yeah, see, the main reason for the EBITDA margin improvement is, you know, the mix that we have had. Some of these licensing income also helps in that because, compared to that licensing income, the related costs are lower. Also, when we see decent growth has happened in the formulation business, which is a better margin business as compared to API. So, some of these business mix related aspects have contributed to improved margin. And we obviously, as we have been mentioning it since past few quarters, that we are very actively looking at, more efficiency in our operations and also keeping our costs under check. So this is a combination of all these efforts which you are seeing in the improvement in the EBITDA. And we expect that, the EBITDA should remain in similar kind of range.
Okay, all right. And any guidance on the revenue for FY25?
I don't think we would be in a position to provide any guidance per se. That's something that as a policy we do not do.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aprisha from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yeah.
Am I audible? Yeah. Sir, my first question is on the formulation side. So if we look at the breakup, the US formulation segment has come down from 30 crore to 10 crores if we compare it on a quarterly basis. So could you please explain the reason behind this? Because as far as the data goes, the contribution from P-Matrix injection was supposed to come from this quarter. So what caused this kind of performance in that segment, and then how much of that was contributed by P-Matrix?
Yeah, see, there are two aspects here. In Primatexed for US business, okay, we are having an arrangement with our partner where we supply them at a floor price and then we have a profit share, okay? So whatever sales revenue you will see on the last quarter in the US, which was on the for one-time supply for the US market, which we had done at a floor price, okay? And for which we will be expecting in quarters to come a profit share also, which you will see as part of licensing income. So you will be able to see that, it will be in the US sales income, which you will see in the upcoming quarters to come. So since, as I already mentioned in Primatexed case, there are two codes, J code and K code. So J code for the premium pricing already is secured. So once K code, which is a reimbursement code, which approval, which we are expecting in this quarter, once we receive that, then you will see a jump in the sales in the upcoming quarters.
Because let's say last quarter 30 crores and this quarter 10 crores. So how much was contributed by P-Matrix, if you can give the breakup?
Yeah, in the last quarter, Primatexed contributed as a total revenue of 20 crores.
Okay, and in this quarter?
This quarter, it has not given any contribution because the supplies were one time, which was done in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they were all launch quantities earlier, Prisha. So,
So you're saying the profit sharing sales income will start coming from next quarter?
Yeah. So partially it has started coming in, but it takes time to, things to come in. So I think these are early days for a product launch. And, we'll have to wait for it to take shape and develop.
Okay. And sir, my next question is on debt. So in previous con call, you had mentioned that the prepayment option will get active in August. So has the timeline changed, or are we on track to repay or sort of prepay our debt in this month? And what amount will be prepaid in August? And if I'm not wrong, the entire amount will be long-term debt, correct?
Yeah. So basically, we are on track to prepay, as we had mentioned earlier. We have earmarked 300 crores out of the QIP raise that we had done. And that is something that we would prepay during this particular month. We are on track for it. And this obviously, okay. This prepayment is happening towards NCD, which is a long-term debt.
Correct. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my next question is on the third biosimilar which you have mentioned in this PPT, which is pembrolizumab. The market size that we have mentioned is huge, around $28 billion. So if you can provide us with more details as to with respect to, let's say, the development of the biosimilar or the milestones that we are looking at in future regarding this product, or when do we plan to launch it, and other details like that.
Yeah, see, on pembrolizumab, as it is very important development in our pipeline. So in year, in quarters to come, what you should observe is how the product is moving from lab scale development to validation stage and then the clinical studies. Okay. So what is important for us is, as a pipeline, we have taken that all molecule already in grid, and we have finished initial lab scale development already. So in quarters to come, we will be moving the product from lab to clinical studies.
Correct. Okay. And apart from this, we have two biosimilars in pipeline, if I'm not wrong.
Ma'am, there are others waiting in the queue, please.
Okay, sure. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Kharodia from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So first question was regarding the albumin. So please correct my understanding if it's wrong. So for excipient grade, can we expect a launch in the FY26? I understand that therapeutic grade launch can be a little later, maybe in FY27 once we complete the clinical studies on that.
Yeah, see, in albumin, in excipient grade, there is nothing like a launch, because once we have drug master file, right, we will start seeding our samples, or we'll start selling initial small quantities in various markets in the quarters to come, okay? So important is, we will, in the quarters to come, we will see how the traction is, how the market is taking volumes. So I'll be able to give you a right picture in upcoming quarters. So currently, I'm not in a position to give you a right picture.
Okay, sir. And also, other question was about the this line item of loss from JV and associates, which has increased in this quarter versus year on year, as well as quarter on quarter. So if you can maybe help us understand more details about that.
Right. So see, basically, you know, one of our associate companies, you know, we had a certain balance. Now, in their case, there were certain losses that were reported in the earlier period, which, you know, when we received the financials, we had to take those into account, and that has been corrected during this particular quarter.
Okay, and just last question on the tax rate. So as you explained that it will be 35% overall, broadly in that range for FY25, but FY26 onwards, can we expect some moderation there, or more normalization, or it shall remain in that same range only?
Neha, let's take one thing at a time, right? We'll talk about it in the coming periods.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Keshav. Thanks for the opportunity. First on albumin, do we plan to out-license before phase 3 itself, or will it happen after phase 3? I just want to understand our strategy, given both efficacy and safety are established. Phase 3 is kind of redundant, at least for the buyer, right?
See, you know, some of these are strategical things which are fairly confidential from a corporate perspective. You know, we are at, as Keshav had explained, that we are initiating our phase 3 studies. So this is probably not a right time to have these kind of discussions from our corporate's perspective.
Okay. Just on, do we plan to start US-specific trials for this?
Yes.
Any timelines for that?
Yeah, now since our phase 1 study is completed, so same like Europe, in US also we will be submitting this data. And once we have response from the agency, accordingly the timelines will come in picture. So I think we'll have a more picture in maybe by Q3 FY25.
Okay. Second US. On liraglutide, When can we start the commercial sales? Do we have any firm orders? Because one Indian company is launching this financial year, two more in FY26, but all three have existing partners, I'm told. So our launch cannot be or will not be before FY26. Is this a right understanding?
No, see, because we were waiting for the drug master file to be ready, because that is very important for anyone to use our API, okay, which has been made ready just in first quarter. So you will see in quarters to come, there will be sales for this product, which will slowly start ramping up also. Okay. And about the source qualification, see, because no one will wait for the launch and then start adding source. Everyone in the development, once their filing is done, they will start adding additional sources for launch so that they are more competitive in the market. So there are possibilities where we will be starting to get qualified in source, in their formulation source of some of the clients.
Got it. And finally, on biologics, our 8 KL mammalian facility is yet to be utilized. So we've added one US client, we've added two more CDMO customers. Are these for, expected to add two more in Q2 FY25? Are these for mammalian facility? Can you talk about the therapy or the indication for these three customers?
Yeah, since we are in under confidential agreement with this customer, so I will not be able to tell you about these things. But what I can tell you, we have a mix of mammalian microbial projects.
Okay, and the South Korean CDMO, the peptide molecule, once we start the GMP supplies, can we utilize our 2KL, the microbial facility at Dharwad fully just from this, or we'll need more such molecules?
No, we can utilize it.
Okay, cool. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Alpesh Dalal for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you all. Thanks for your interest, continued interest in Shilpa Medicare. You know, we continue to remain available to you for any further questions or queries that you may have. And we'll speak to you soon again. Thanks a lot for joining our talk. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. On behalf of Shilpa Medicare, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.